Let's move into lesson 14. It says in lesson 14, point one, you are justified by the faith of God. Then quotes Galatians 2:16. It says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And it goes on to say in point two, God not only provides salvation, but he also gave you the faith to receive it. And he says, not only you were born again through that faith, but you're to live your entire Christian life by it. And it quotes Galatians 2:20. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I think the point that's trying to bring out here in these two verses, that you're justified by God's faith, and you know it underlines the faith of Jesus Christ. And then in Galatians 2:20, he says, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And that's the point that's been pointed out here. But in other translations, it says faith in, right? So what is it? Is it faith of or is it faith in? Well, I say both. Amen. And you can see it right here in Galatians 2:16. It says, let's read that verse again. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. How many of that believe in Jesus Christ is placing faith in? Amen? So it's a twofold thing, right? We've been given, right? And we have to place faith in, right? We've been justified. He did the work, right? We have been redeemed. But how many know we need to place faith in? We have to believe it to appropriate the finished work. Amen? Right? So it's both, right? So I believe it's both. I said before, we receive his faith as a gift. And when we heard the word and we believed it and received it is when we acknowledged and we saw the outworking of what Christ did in our life. Because how many of you know Christ did it all? But how many of you, if we don't place faith in that, that is not going to overflow into our life? Right? Philemon 1:6 says that the communication or the release of thy faith may become effectual by acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you want that faith that's been placed in you to be released, what do you have to do? Acknowledge it, come into agreement with it, believe it, and that's how it flows out of you. Amen. Right? His word says, by his stripes, you were healed. How many of that good thing could stay on the inside of you and you not see it on the outside of you if you don't believe it? That's the truth. His word says, by his stripes you were healed. Past. He paid the price. He took the stripes on his back. And it's already yours, that healing. But we have to come into agreement that it is ours. And when we've come into agreement, we'll become fully persuaded, right? You know, in Hebrews 4:2, it says, the word which you heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. And the word says in Galatians 5:6 says, faith works by love, right? What is this love? When you're convinced, you're fully persuaded of what God says is yours. Amen. You have to be fully persuaded that you have to be fully persuaded of his love for you, that the work is done, that he has accepted you, that you are worthy. Amen. That he's true to his word, right? That he's not a liar. I love that. We can count on him. When the situation is saying the opposite, we can count on God, on his word. And when we're convinced of his love for us, faith is released. That's how faith works, because we're confident. We don't go by what we see. We don't look at the things that are temporal, but we look at the things that are eternal, right? We don't quit when we see everything is falling apart. We say, no, God is for me. He is with me. Amen. He has my back. I always say that. This too shall pass. Man, we have to come to the point where we truly are persuaded that God is bigger than any situation that we're going to face, no matter how bad it looks. And that's how faith operates. Faith is released when we acknowledge every good thing which is in us in Christ Jesus. We need to believe we have this faith. However, the goal is to release it and its benefits into our soul and body. That's point three, right? So the first step is to believe you have this faith, but the goal is to release its benefits into your soul and body. And it goes on to say here that you don't have a faith deficiency, you have a knowledge problem, right? So you may think you're deficient in faith, but the truth is that you're ignorant. That's true. You're ignorant of who you are and what you have in Christ. Amen? That's why for so long a lot of people believe when they're sick, oh, maybe it's God's will for me to be sick. You know, maybe God's teaching me something through this, right? I mean, that's ignorance, right? They didn't know. They didn't know who they were. They listened to some teaching somewhere instead of getting to the Word. Hey, go back with the Word again. Get again to the Word and see it for yourself, what God says about you. We don't need to live our life in ignorance. Amen. I always say, you may go to a million conferences. Get into the Word and see it for yourself. Don't take any man's word for it. All right? You must see it in God's Word. It must line up with God's Word. We don't want to be ignorant. We want to take any man's word as doctrine. We want to see what God's Word says about us. Amen? So we need to be in God's Word. We need to know who we are in Christ. If you don't acknowledge this faith, then you won't see it manifest in your life. If you always think of yourself, oh, well, you know, I'm just one of those people who's just weak in faith. If you always think that way, right? The Word says a man thinks in his heart. If that's the way you think, that's what you're going to see in your life. But that's not what the Word says about us, right? We believe those things if we grow up going to church somewhere and we're not in the Word. But if we get into God's Word, we see what His Word says. And we see in Romans 12:3, it says, let's read that. For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more high than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So God's given, you know, some version says the measure of faith, some version says measure of faith, right? Or a measure. It's a measure. Same measure, same thing. You know why we know it's the same thing? Because if we look at other scripture, in Acts chapter 10 and verse 31, it says God shows no partiality, right? We see that in Acts 10 verse 34. God shows no partiality, okay? He doesn't like one more than the other. God doesn't have favorites in His kingdom. Amen. If we feel that way, we've been listening to the enemy, because that's how God feels about us, right? He's given to us, all of us, the same measures of faith. He didn't give us different measures of faith. All born-again Christians receive the same amount of faith. In the Spirit, you have the complete measure of faith. You don't need more faith. You have all the faith that you'll ever need. Wow, that goes all of our excuses, right? Why are we not seeing things happen in our life, you know? No, we just need to renew our mind and release it. Renew our mind. We don't like that word renew also, do we? We don't like work, right? It's too much work to get into God's Word. But we can read books that don't have any life in them, right? We can spend countless hours in front of TV and moan and groan, oh, how come I'm not seeing my healing, you know? But we don't want to get into God's Word and renew our mind to who He says we are in Christ Jesus. I'm not trying to make fun of anyone, but we have to be truthful here, right? We must renew our mind to who He says we are. 2 Peter 1:1 says, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So it says that we have like precious faith, right? In the King James Version, it says it like this. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of our God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we have the same faith. Like Peter, like Paul. Then we read the Word and we're like, wow, can you believe it, you know? And then when Peter, he raised someone named Dorcas from the dead. Wow, that's just awesome. You know, we hear things of that today, right? It's not uncommon. We hear people raising people from them. We think, wow. But how many of you know we have the same faith too? We can do the same thing, right? And we find that incident with Peter raising Dorcas from the dead in Acts chapter 9, verse 36 to 42. We see also in the Word, Peter with his shadow. He touched people with his shadow. And we see in Acts chapter 5 and verse 15. Right? In Matthew chapter 14, verse 29, we see Peter walking on the water in the midst of a raging storm. Like, wow, what great faith. But you know what? He has the same faith. We have the same, like, precious faith. Right? Same Same thing like with Peter, you know. In the Greek, that word, like precious, it means, the Greek word is isotimos, which means of equal value or honor. Equal value. Like precious faith means of equal value. They don't have more, we don't have less, right? So we have equal value of faith. We have the same faith like Paul. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 and verse 13, talk about his head crushed in every area. He's crushed. Let me go to that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now we read the story of their lives and we say, wow, how amazing, you know. They must have something more than we have. But that's not the truth. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. And if we go down to verse 17 and 18, let's see what his attitude was, right? And it says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Right? What was he going through? Well, if we go down to chapter 11, 2 Corinthians, we see all the things that he endured. He was shipwrecked, right? We can read it from verse 24. He was beaten 5 times, and we see 40 stripes minus one, right? So he was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he was left for dead, he was stripped naked. But this is what his attitude. He said, I'm not looking at the things that are temporal. I'm looking at things that are eternal. Amen. That's the faith he had. And we have that same faith on the inside of us. Amen. How many of you know we need to have a revelation of that? How many of you know the world is not getting any better? It's not, right? So we need to have a revelation. Man, if this is the way they can be in the midst of all of that persecution, right? We have the same faith. We can walk in the same thing. Amen. How many of you glad he didn't quit? Praise the Lord. What a example for us. Man, praise God he didn't quit after the first beating. Man, forget this. If this is what it means to be a Christian, I'm out of this thing, you know. This is too hard. No. He had a revelation of who he was in Christ Jesus. Amen. He knew this world is not his home. This is temporary. And a lot of us are living here as if this is all there is to life. I mean, this is not all there is to life. No, it's not. Amen. We're passing through. Amen. I don't know about you. And as I'm passing through, I want to walk, man, in what he says I have. I want to demonstrate. I want to bring glory to his name. Amen. I don't want to blend in. I want to stand out. Amen. We need to stop blending in. If you're truly his, we need to stand out in his power. Amen. And that comes to coming to an agreement. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. I have the same power that raised Christ from the dead on the inside of me. Amen. And it doesn't have to lay there. It can overflow into my life. Amen. My life can be changed and others that I come in contact with. Amen. Amen. Because there are so many hurting people out there who are dying every day, like we just saw recently, without Jesus, right? So we need to walk in this power. So we have the same faith like Jesus, right? In John chapter 14 and verse 12, it says in John 14 verse 12, it says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Right? He's talking about us, right? We'll do greater works than him. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. He lives on the inside of us. Everything that he is. And we see in 1 John 4:17, right? So we can do the same works that Jesus did if we receive this truth and begin to use what we have. Right? That we have like precious faith. So when we see scriptures like in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 10, where it says, when it's talking about a centurion, and it says, "I've never seen such great faith." Or in Matthew 8:26, when it says the disciples had little faith, what was Jesus talking about? He was speaking about how much faith he saw, right? He's not talking about the quantity of faith they had on the inside. He's talking about the outworking of it, how much he saw in demonstration. None of us use all the faith we've been given. How many of you agree, right? Right? But we have all been given the same measure of faith. However, some have more faith being exhibited or that is functional in their life. Most people don't doubt that faith works. They just doubt that they have enough faith to get the job done. How many of you agree? But what does Jesus say? Let's go to Matthew chapter 17. Right, this is talking about a story about the boy who's epileptic that came to disciples and they couldn't heal him, right? So Jesus said to them, he rebuked the disciples and he prayed for the little boy. Anyway, then verse 19 says, then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." So he's talking about if you have faith just as small as a mustard seed. Now, he's not saying your faith is a mustard seed, okay? But if he's saying that's all that you have, and you use it. Some of us are not even using. We're not tapping in. But here's the key here. In verse 20, he says, it's because of your unbelief, right? A lot of us are walking in unbelief. It's because of our unbelief we're not seeing that faith rise up in our life and work, right? In Mark chapter 11 and verse 23, I'm going to give you some additional things. Do you mind? No? Okay. I just want to give you a little extra. How about that? A little extra, okay? In Mark 11 and verse 22, it says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. And verse 23 says, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you believe, ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. What's the key here? We need to believe. That's the key word. In Mark 10:27 says, but man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. All things are possible with God. But what's the key? We have to believe, right? And there are different dynamics of faith, right? Of how faith works. We have to only believe. That's what Jesus told Jairus, right? When the news came to him that his daughter was dead, they came to him with the news. Don't come, don't bother. She's dead. What did Jesus turn to Jairus and say in Luke chapter 5 and verse 36? He said, do not be afraid, only believe. How many of you know how many times we're not only believing, right? We're not only, let's be honest with ourselves, we're not only believing. We know it up here, but in our heart there's turmoil, there's fear, right? And in James chapter 1, verses 6 to 8, let's talk about being double-minded. So here it is, we have that faith. We have that same faith. We have all the same measure of faith, but the reason why we are not seeing it overflow into our life, because many of us are double-minded. We're not only believing, right? And you can't tell me, if you tell me you're believing something, it must be evident in your life. I'm not judging you, but that's what the Word says. The Word says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, the word is effectual to those who believe. The word is effective. The word produces when we only believe. And that's the truth, right? If we see God's word promises and we're not seeing it in our life, we have to ask ourselves, am I only believing? What else am I considering other than God's word? Am I considering other things in addition to God's word, right? It talks about Abraham in Romans chapter 4 and verse 18 and 19. He said he did not consider the deadness of a situation. Are we considering the deadness of our situation in addition to what God's word is saying? Right, a lot of times that's what we're doing. Right? What are we feeding on? Are we feeding on God's word? Or are we feeding on what our situation is telling us? It can be both. We have to choose one. Right? Deuteronomy chapter 30 chapter 30 and verse 19, it said before you, life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life, right? What are you choosing, life or death, right? Are you choosing what God says about you, right? So we have to, what are we considering, right? And when we're truly convinced of what God's word is saying in our life, we're going to see it. Just like in the life of Abraham, he was fully convinced, right? That's why we have to get into God's word, right? You know, that's why God showed him the stars and the sand, right? That's his meditation. Meditating on the word of God. That's it. So shall your descendants be. He was meditating on the word of God day and night, right? He was only considering God's word, right? And we saw the promise come in his life, right? Just know that when God gives us a word, we can count on it. You know, when Jesus was walking on the water and the disciples were in the boat and they saw Jesus walking, you know, and they were like, who is that? Is that Jesus, you know? Lord, is that you? You know, and Peter said, if that's you, Lord, bid me to come. And Jesus said, come, right? That's his word, come. So he stepped out on that word, come, the word of God. But what happened to Peter? He started looking at the storm. Oh, my God, what am I doing? You know, and what happened? He got his eyes off of Jesus. Double-minded, right? And he started to sink. That's what a lot of us do. God gives us his word, and he wants us to keep our eyes on him, right? He wants us to be convinced of his word. And when we're convinced of his word, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13, let's go there, that's going to be the last verse. It says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. So when we truly believe something, our mouth is going to line up with it, right? When we truly believe something, our mouth is going to come in line with it. Because the word says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So listen to yourself. What are you saying? You'll know what's in your heart. Not when you're in church now. When you're home and that big bill comes in, what flies out of your mouth? Or you get some unexpected news, right? You can tell how you react to a situation by what you say, right? What's in your heart? What are you truly believing, right? What are you truly believing? So I want to encourage you tonight. Let's just truly get into God's word. And just not, let's not be ignorant of what his word says about. Let's acknowledge who we are in Christ Jesus. Let's acknowledge, man, thank you, Jesus. You've given me everything, Lord. And Lord, I am going to walk in it, God. I'm going to renew my mind to who I am in Christ. God, I'm going to tap in. I'm going to acknowledge that faith. I'm going to acknowledge that everything I have in Christ Jesus. But God, I want that faith to flow in my life. I don't want to be just a good thing we talk about all the time. Faith, faith, and more faith. You know what I'm talking about? And all we talk about is the word faith. We have conversations about faith. We read books on faith, but yet we don't live by faith. Isn't that true? Right? We don't know what it means to totally say, Lord, your word is true. Lord, I am convinced of who you are in my life. God, I trust you more than what the doctor says. Lord, I trust you with my whole heart. Whole heart. God, I will only consider what you say about me, that I am accepted in the beloved. What does that mean? Ephesians 1 says, that I'm favored by you, that I have your favor in my life, that your favor surrounds me. Amen. But we have to be convinced of it. Because if we're not convinced of it, we're convinced of something else. And therefore, even though God has given, we're not going to receive it. We're going to toss to and fro. We're going to be up one day and down the next day. And that's the way we're going to live our life. Up one day, down one day. Up and down, up and down. Never going anywhere. But I don't know about you, but I'm going somewhere. I'm going to acknowledge what God has in me. So faith comes from God, and it's up to you to use it. God gives us faith through his word, and then it becomes yours. And what you do with it is up to you, right? I said one more verse, but there's one more verse. One more. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse 17. And this is talking about the farmer sowing the word, talking about sowing the word and stuff like that. And we can read from verse 17 or 16. It says, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Those are those who are not convinced of what they heard. But there's no root. Right? They're just hearers only. Hearers only. A lot of us, we can tell when we're hearers only, don't we? Right? The word is not effective in our lives. And verse 17 says, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and desires for other things entering choke the word and becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it. I like that word right there, accept it. You know, all of us could be hearing, but we don't accept it. What does that word accept mean? That means we get revelation. Because there's so many people, we have head knowledge, but we don't have revelation of what his word says about us. That's what acknowledging, coming to agreement with his word, right? That's revelation, right? And not just nodding in church, oh, that's awesome. It's truly having a revelation of what his word says about us. And what happens as a result? Well, some bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So it's up to you. How much are you going to believe God's word? This much? As much as can be, right? We have to come into agreement with God's word, right? That's why in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul says he's praying that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened, opened. That's what we should be praying every day. God, I see what your word says about me, and I'm not walking in it. Thank you, Lord, for revelation in my life. Thank you, Jesus, that my eyes are opening the truth of your word of who I am in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know something you're begging for, right? Because more than ever, he wants you to see yourself the way he sees you. He loves you, right? He's not withholding from you. He wants you to walk in this revelation. He wants you to walk in everything that he has for you, right? So you just, by faith, said, thank you, Lord. And I am not only a hearer of your word, but I'm a doer of your word, God. Thank you, Jesus. I acknowledge who I am in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You're a good God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that as I study the word of God, my eyes are being opened to who I am in Christ Jesus. Amen.